It's like a chess game, trying to treat it as like a chess game, like trying to anticipate things before they happen. How can we get out of this jam? How do we make innings small or not?
Here we go. It is time for Hot Sheet. Scotty Brong, along with Baseball America's JJ Cooper and Jeff Ponce. And I'm excited about this one for multiple reasons, guys. First off, guest schedule, Trey Phelps. And then we've got Ethan Salas, who is in a Major League Padres organization. Top 20 prospect joining us. So we're excited about that. And right off the top here, we want to let everyone know, if you're watching this show live or you catch the show live at any point, guess what? The show is moving. It is still staying. It will be here all off season, just like we do during the season, but it'll be live on YouTube every Monday, beginning Monday, October 21st. That's next week, 3:30 East Coast time, 3:30 Eastern. You can watch the show on this Baseball America YouTube channel or listen to it wherever you get your podcasts. All right, let's hit first move. Jeff, you're our Arizona Fall League guy, so give us the word on what's going on out there. How was it?
Yeah, it was hot, number one. I've never dealt with heat like that in my life. 107, 108 degrees. Typically, when I've gone out to the Fall League, it's a little later in the season. All those folks out in Arizona have been dealing with the heat, significant heat, for the last, like, 4 months. So, first couple games was like a 108 degrees during the day, and then it's maybe like 98 at night. even when the sun goes down, it's sort of unbelievable. But that being said, the bats were hot as well. A lot of outstanding hitting performances, pitching a little bit less so. There's always knocks in the quality of pitching. I'm not even sure it's as much that versus it's just really hard to stand out there in that heat, you know, early in the season, go through these really strong lineups that are pretty loaded. If not 1 through 9, at least sort of 1 through 6, you're looking at, you know, a group of future big leaguers. Some of them, if you're playing Glendale, they got a couple of current big leaguers like Matt McClain and Christian Encarnacion Strand that are in the lineup. So that's certainly not easy. But, you know, I think the big name, the hottest name, the guy with the most helium coming out of the first week of the season for me, is Zaire Hope of the Dodgers. Was acquired in the Michael Busch trade alongside Jackson Ferris. I've been told by people who were involved in some of those negotiations that on both sides that Hope was really a sticking point in that deal, even more so than Ferris. And this was a great job of scouting by the Cubs initially signing this guy, and then a great job by the Dodgers of insisting on this guy being involved. Just a ton of tools. The underlying numbers in the season really backed that up. It's a similar skill set to like what put me on to Roman Anthony or what put me on to Gunnar Henderson, a guy that doesn't miss in the zone all that much, doesn't chase all that much, and has outlier power. He showed that off in a random game in Goodyear, which isn't a typical AFL park, but hit a home run there that was 110 miles per hour off the bat and traveled 470 feet. And he got every bit of that. I said it yesterday on the fantasy podcast. It might've been the most perfect barrel that I've seen. It was 470, 110 miles per hour, and just caught it perfectly. And it cleared the batter's eye there in center field at Goodyear by about 20 feet, 30 feet in the air. So it easily cleared the batter's eye, and you don't often see balls hit that hard. That was a standout one. He's a good athlete, probably a corner outfielder long term, but really interesting player. And then, you know, a lot of other top 100 prospects that really stuck out as well.
Yeah, Jeff, I see the Colossal Jaguars comment. It is one of the hottest places, I think, in the, you know, that you can possibly go to. Anywhere where the parking lots have to have shade, you know, that's a cause for concern. But Jeff, that while the pitching may not be, you know, at the same level as the hitters, it usually isn't. You did get to see Andrew Painter, who is as good a pitching prospect as pretty much anyone out there. And, you know, his shaking off, his chipping off that rust, having missed basically the last 2 years because of injuries, but it didn't seem like he was very rusty in your look.
Yeah. In terms of the power and the stuff, I didn't think there was really any decrease. It was still that ride cut fastball. He sat 99, 98, 99 in the first inning, touched 100 miles an hour, not on my gun, which runs a little cold, but on a couple other scouts guns that were sitting next to me, he did hit 100. So kind of unbelievable just to, you know, 2 years off, comes right out. He's throwing smoke. He's throwing the full arsenal of pitches. You know, you saw a changeup, you saw the slider, you saw a curveball. I think it was one of those things where any guy that's coming back off of Tommy John surgery, especially early in their, you know, return to the actual mound in game, competitive games, the locations aren't what they were. The guy that I saw 2 years ago, the locations were really, really crisp with that fastball, and he stayed out of trouble zones. Some of that might have been Arizona as well. You know, I don't know how it impacts ride and some of those things. But in the second inning, he did give up quite a few barrels. First inning, you know, Jeff McNeil did catch a barrel on the first pitch, but wasn't able to power it out. Gave up a big bomb to Briseño, who just had an unbelievable game. His first three at bats, he hit three home runs. So he was just on a burner. But yeah, overall, I think my takeaway is like, you know, this looked like Andrew Painter. If the health is ready to go into next season, you know, I don't know what the role is with him in the Phillies. I would imagine he's probably in AAA for a month or two. And then, you know, maybe they sort of roll a 6-man rotation or use him in long stretches out of the bullpen at periods in time, get a couple of innings, that sort of thing. I don't know what the buildup is going to be, or if they're just going to go, you know, take the training wheels off and let him just roll. But the stuff was right there. And I think that's, for me, at least the biggest thing that I wanted to see. If he came out and he was 93, 94, that's a very different pitcher than, you know, the guy that we saw at the end of 2022.
But that's the thing that stands out to me is he's already passed a key test here, which is when a guy comes back from Tommy John, you want to see, does the stuff make it all the way back? Most of the time it does, but there are examples of guys where you're like, oh, he's just not the same guy that he was before. The sharpness, the feel, all of those things you can understand completely that it kind of doesn't really matter if he has that yet here in October, you know, when he's aiming for the future, he's aiming for 2025. But to see the stuff come back the way it has, to me, is a really encouraging sign. You know, as you said, like, we don't know what the role is going to be necessarily next year, but I would say that he goes into 25 and the goal is, hey, I'm going to be part of this rotation, whether it's opening day, but especially by midseason. And this was a guy who was our best pitching prospect in the game pretty much before he got hurt. If he's back to anywhere close to what he was before that, if the rust is off, the feel's back, this is the guy who could make a major impact for the Phillies in 2025, I would say.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree with that 100%.
All right. Well, Jeff, thank you for the report and the update, and glad to see the suntan, but that you're also, you know, cooled off a little bit from the Fall League, dude. Good work out there. Of course, people can check out more of your work on the Arizona Fall League. If you have a Baseball America subscription, go get after it. Thank you, Jeff. We'll see you on the next one. All right.
All right. Thanks a lot, Scott. Take it easy, JJ.
Appreciate it. All right. We're going to go back to school for our first of two interviews today. Here we go. Back to school we go. And Peter Flaherty is going to join us this conversation as well from Baseball America as we welcome in Trey Phelps, Georgia Bulldog, here on Baseball America Hot Sheet. Trey, great to have you on the show. And how is your offseason going so far?
Thanks for having me, guys. Going well, getting it in. We're actually off campus right now, practicing at Athens Academy as our field is getting redone, but going well. I mean, lots of scrimmages, hitting, lifting, just getting it in.
Trey, you mentioned it. Like, how excited are you kind of for what Foley Field's going to look like come spring? I know that you've probably shown y'all some of it and all. I'm a UGA grad, and they were actually had just redone Foley Field when I was at UGA, but that was many, many, many years ago. I'm guessing it's going to be a lot nicer than it was when I was there in the 90s. But what are you kind of looking forward to? What is it going to be like at that stadium in 2025?
So I actually talked to our AD Josh Brooks, I think Friday at the volleyball game, and he was saying like the field should be fully turfed. I'm excited to see kind of what that looks like. I'm more of a dirt guy, but I'm excited to see how that's going to go. Our left field concourse is supposed to have an expansion, two levels with standing room. So that should be really good for, I guess, just keeping the sound in instead of just having to go out the side of the canopy that we had. And under it, I mean, for us, the weight room, the players' lounge, the new dugout. I just want to see how everything looks. It should be really exciting.
Trey, so you had a great 2024 last year. You kind of get thrust into a bigger role and play yourself into a bigger role as the season went on, which was really fun to see. Kind of building off of that, what did you hone in the offseason, either offensively, defensively, or both?
Really just well-rounded and fine-tuning things. Kind of just being, I would say, more consistent. Being able to be there for my team every at-bat, kind of just more than one at-bat a game. And, I mean, the more you do with your team, the more individual success comes outside of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And you went down to Team USA. I know you were slated to play in the Cape, but you got a USA invite. Playing for USA is really cool, but I think one of the most underrated part from talking to other guys that have been down there is spending some time around other talented guys and learning from them, you know, their process in the plate, what they do, some mechanical tweaks, maybe unlocking things with your own game. What were some of the best nuggets that you took? You don't have to specify from who, but what were some of the best nuggets that you kind of took away from the experience?
A lot of those guys, yeah, I'm not going to say specifically who, but a lot of those guys just play freely and very confidently. They believe in their talents. They can go 0-for-2. They can have two more at-bats, and they know they're going to go get who's ever on that mound. And they can make two errors. They know they're going to make the next play that comes to them. It's kind of just having to focus in how good you are, no matter what's happening.
So, Trey, you were a shortstop early in your high school career, third base. At Georgia, you've played first. You played, in the outfield. How is it looking for this year? How's it looking in fall ball? Like, is the emphasis on kind of the versatility again, or are you going to have a little bit more of kind of a home base this year?
Well, I don't know if y'all saw last year, but Wes loves to tell us, like, we're not robots. He wants to see everybody play as many positions as possible, just because you just never know where you're needed. And honestly, the huge thing for me is focusing on what I can do best at every single position. Obviously, the infield will come easier to me because it's been my bread and butter my whole life. As I've been learning outfield, as you focus, I mean, it's not as challenging. It's just taking certain routes, getting certain jumps, and then in the infield, just being head on the swivel, obviously, every pitch because anything can happen. So just kind of picking up things you don't really think of from playing infield and moving to outfield and watching other guys. But it's fun, honestly. I love it.
You mentioned, like y'all off campus for fall ball, but fall ball has become a much bigger deal, I feel like, over the last few years. You know, you've got, it's not something now where it's just scrimmages and all. What is the fall ball experience been like for you? And what is it, as you kind of keep going, there's obviously the Georgia Florida game in recent years has been kind of a very big deal.
So actually we're not playing any fall ball against any other team this year. All of our fall ball will be just inter squads. And I want to say it's because of facilities right now and where we are. Couldn't 100% tell you. But last year, going to that Georgia-Florida game, I mean, that atmosphere, that just kind of put me in the mode of this is exactly what SEC ball is going to be like. It was insane. I mean, you go down the night before the Florida-Georgia football game and everybody's there just tuned in, and I wasn't even playing, and I felt like I did something that night, and I enjoyed it. I really did.
So coming into last year, you were a pretty known commodity just in the recruiting space, and everyone was excited to see you get to campus after the draft interest you got. But sort of, I guess, a little bit of an unknown, just given that you gradually climbed into this bigger role and excelled throughout the year. But now with Charlie Conner gone, Corey Collins gone, like, you're going to be the guy in that lineup, both from a production standpoint and then also a leadership role. I know the answer to this probably, but is that something that really kind of excites you and gets you going and gives you some more motivation for 25?
For sure. I mean, I wouldn't say any more added motivation. I mean, we still, that same goal is there. I mean, I want to get to Omaha and we want to win it all. And that's the goal last year. So I'll say it's the same motivation, but it's definitely a different focus of knowing that teammates are also going to pay attention to me and how I move every day. So I need to make sure I'm moving the exact same no matter what's going on for anybody that day.
Trey, were you surprised that Condon not only didn't go number one, but didn't go number two A lot of people thought he was going to land with the Reds. I'm sure you were following that pretty closely. What did you think? And then can you give Rockies fans a little scouting report on what they're going to see eventually?
Okay. I couldn't possibly guess where he's going to go. Obviously, I think he was the best player available by far. The scouting report I can give, I mean, this guy's going to hit for a really, really long time. I really hope y'all don't ever lose this guy. He's going to hit for a really long time. He's going to defend for a really long time at a high level. And I think I'm a knock on wood. I don't want to jinx anything, but I think y'all got a Hall of Fame player.
Wow. Okay, that leads me to ask this question, because Charlie hit a lot of long home runs. You've hit some. But the legend is before I'm old, but I'm not this old. But the legend of Foley Field has always been about the Bo Jackson home run that was hit there. But is that legend still going along? Did you hear about, you know, that Bo Jackson hit one almost to the Coliseum, to Stegman?
No.
It's dying. It died with my generation, apparently.
That's far. That's got to be like 600.
I'm sure it adds about 50 more feet a year, but Bo hit probably the longest home run that anyone's seen. It did make his book. This, but the biography of him, it's like it was that good. But yeah, like it was well into the parking lot back there. But okay, what's the longest home run that you've hit in your career? Is there ever one that you hit where you're like, man, that's me getting every bit of it?
I believe I hit one against Michigan State in a midweek. I think it went 460. It was poolside, somewhere in that era. But I know the one I hit against NC State in game 2 of Super Regional, I felt like that was the one ball I got every bit of, and it just wasn't coming back. It went over the batter's eye. I don't know the distance, but I know it felt really well.
All right, let's finish with this. What do you think of JJ's shirt right above you? I'll read it for the podcast crowd. Had a bunt. One, don't. Two, hit a dinger.
Personally, I agree. I mean, I like to hit. I like to hit. I'm going to hit.
There you go. Okay, good.
I'm going to hit.
Well, we'll get you a shirt. Trey, thank you so much for joining us. Enjoy the off season. We're excited for next season. Yeah, this was great. Appreciate you.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good day.
You too. Thank you, Trey. Trey Phelps, Georgia Bulldog, with us on Baseball America Hot Sheet. And we'll get ready for our next one in just a sec. But JJ, I know you were looking forward to this.
Yeah, I mean, one of the better hitting prospects, not only in college baseball this year, but also in the upcoming draft class. Peter, like the thing that just kind of stands out about you mentioned it, but this is a guy who's going to be a middle of the order force for Georgia. Should be a guy who's among the better hitters in the SEC. What are you looking forward to, Peter, to seeing from him? In 25, kind of coming off of that big 24.
Yeah, he had a great 24. He'll now be the guy in that Georgia lineup, which is a fun challenge and one I'm excited to watch him handle. It's a really thunderous, explosive operation of the box. It's power over hit. I'm really excited to see the strides that the hit tool made, and he's one of the top sophomore eligible guys in this year's class, at least heading into this year.
And he also called Charlie Condon a potential future Hall of Famer. That's pretty high praise. Not bad.
Yeah, that's lofty.
Yeah, lofty. He's got a good park that he'll be a part of at some point. You know, his former teammate over at Georgia. All right, let's do this. We've got our next guest ready to go. It's Ethan Salas in the San Diego Padres organization, top 20 prospect on Baseball America's list. Helium Spot. Ethan, great to have you on. How you doing today?
How's it going, guys? Good.
Did you follow the playoffs, by the way? I know obviously you're not up with the big league club yet, too.
Yeah,
but
no, I was,
did you
I was
follow what just game. Happened? What'd you think?
Yeah, I was watching. It was a rough ending, but the boys, they played hard and they showed out, so I thought it was pretty good.
Yeah, it was
so
fun.
Ethan,
obviously fun team to follow there. Go ahead, JJ.
Yeah, so Ethan, you know, you've had a long season, and I say that, you know, catchers, obviously it's the hardest job in baseball. Here you are, you keep it going. You're doing the Arizona Fall League. How's it gone, do you feel like, for you so far? But I guess even more importantly, where are you hoping to get out of your month in the AFL?
Yeah, no, I've long year, definitely. Body's holding up really good. I feel really strong. Just gonna go keep playing. Just really excited for this extra month of baseball. Obviously, I finished the year strong, and I just wanted to keep carrying that on. And yeah, just bring it into the fall league, come with the same confidence, the same drive, and the same like love for the game that I had at the end of the year. And just go keep performing, keep having fun, try to win.
Like you said, you kind of had a strong finish. Did it feel like it's like, hey, I'm glad that this isn't ending yet, that I'm, you know, that I can keep kind of my 24 going?
Exactly. Yeah, that was my exact thought process. I was like, dang, like I started getting hot towards the end of the year, and I was like, dang, like why does the season have to end now? We can't just keep playing, but it is what it is. And thankfully I have this extra month of games and just going to come out, meet all the guys and just keep enjoying the games and having fun with it.
Hey, have you gotten to speak to some of the big leaguers on this current Padres team? And if so, who, and you know, anything specific that you can point out that you guys have talked about? Obviously there's quite a few big name players on that ball club.
Yeah, no, I haven't talked to a lot of the guys. I talked to Jackson a little bit the other day. No, just catching up. He's probably going to come out here, watch a couple of the games, but no, just talking to him a little bit, just catching up. Nothing really too into depth.
So Ethan, I'm old. I remember a little bit, but seeing your dad play in Macon many years ago, and you know, you grew up in a baseball family. What if, you know, like, what was that like kind of coming up, you know, like having, you know, having a dad, you know, having a brother also, but having a family where there's others who kind of know the path, who kind of know what you're going through?
It's huge. It's really good because I can learn from them and learn, like talk about them, talk with them about their experiences, because they've gone through what I've been going through. And not just having those people there who get you and are there to talk baseball with you, I think it's really good. And we just pick each other's brains and learn from each other's experience. And yeah, I mean, that's been a huge part for me, just picking their brains and how can we all help each other, because we've all been through the same process. So I think that helps a lot. It's a big advantage I have.
So Ethan, you see, you know, you're around him a little bit last year in spring training and your time in big league camp. You see Jackson Merrill break camp, go on to have all the success and kind of become one of the guys in the lineup, both in the regular season and also have a lot of success in the postseason. How does that, you know, excite, encourage, motivate you as you continue to climb through pro ball and, you know, you see a homegrown talent from, you know, the Padres system be able to contribute in such a, I guess, productive way for the big league club?
Yeah, I know, it's exciting. It just shows like how fast things happen in baseball. I was with them on the same team last year in Double A, and like things can just happen so fast. So it kind of goes to show like you're not really that far away, no matter like what level you're at. And I'm just really excited just to get up there, obviously, and contribute in the way he has, and just the energy that he's brought to that clubhouse and stuff he's taught me, just being around him, it shows, and I'm glad that he got to show it this year in the big leagues and have a huge impact. So, yeah.
What did you think, Ethan, when you saw that he was going to be playing in center field for San Diego in spring training? We were all like, wow, I mean, that's interesting. Let's see how it goes. And then it looks like he's been doing it for a long time. Maybe easier for you to be able to say, hey, I knew he was going to be good wherever. But, I mean, it's just so rare to see a rookie infielder go to the outfield and play among, you know, the best center field we saw this year.
Yeah, no, I saw him at the end of the year in Double A last year. And he was working, like, taking reps in left field and stuff. But you can tell he's a good athlete. San Diego does a really good job at, like, finding good athletes and keeping them athletic, not just sticking them to one position and stuff. So, yeah, it was no shock. Dude's a freak athlete, and I think he can do it anywhere on the field, honestly. So, not really a surprise to me.
So, Ethan, as a catcher in the AFL, it's kind of a unique situation. AFL teams obviously are kind of all-star teams, you know, from all different kind of players from different organizations and all coming together. As a catcher, you've got to make that bond. You've got to have that connection, work with the pitchers. And usually during the season, you're working with your guys that, you know, you've been with since spring training and all that. Yeah. How do you do that? How do you make those connections when you're kind of working with guys who, you know, you meet on a Tuesday and you might be catching them on a Thursday?
Yeah. No, just honestly, just getting to meet everyone, like remembering their names, what they do, what they like, what they don't like, just talking to them and building a relationship with these guys, because these are guys you're going to play. I'm going to play against, play with or against for many years to come. So just, yeah, building relationships with them, just getting to know them as people first, and then going on to the baseball side of things. It's just having that communication between each other, and yeah, going out to work. These guys are good. They know they're good. I know they're here to do a job, and we just go work.
As a catcher also, like, there's so much with the game. There's always has been catching. There's so much to it, but what have you as a pro? I mean, again, you came out, you know, everyone, I remember watching your first spring training, just how quiet your hands were, how smooth you received. But what have you had to work on? What have you had to try to improve? Because again, the every time you jump a level, the expectations go up behind the plate. But what's different for you now than it was when you were coming into, say, spring training, two springs ago?
I think that part, just the game management side of things, like building that sense of, like, I know, like, it's like a chess game, trying to treat it as like a chess game, like trying to anticipate things before they happen. How can we get out of this jam? How do we make innings smaller, not have such long innings and stuff like that? Just like being a better game manager and I can see the game, like being able to see the game through all eyes of the field. I think that's been one of the things I've been having to work on. But when it comes down to like receiving and throwing and all that stuff, I think I have it. Now it's just putting it all together with the game management side of things.
In the same breath of improvements and adjustments this time at the dish, JJ touched on it earlier, but you had a really strong finish to the season, and it really picked up, I'd say, after the Futures game. What, if any, specific mechanical tweak? Because it's, I mean, it seemed like in August and throughout the to finish out the year, you started driving the baseball more, tapping into some more impact. Was there anything specific that you maybe tweaked or unlocked, or was it just kind of added reps and getting your feet under you a little bit?
Yeah, I started standing a little taller, got my hands up a little bit, and just starting to think like down on the ball, and obviously using my leverage, working with the guys in San Diego, the guys we have here, helped me a lot during the season and like trying to get out of a rut. So, and definitely like the confidence, just like believing in yourself more, definitely helped too. So, yeah.
Ethan, I mean, your name has popped up for years, not just for the talent on the field, but the age. I mean, you played your first pro game at 16 years old, obviously playing a lot of ball at 17, now 18, against players that are older than you. How was that when you first crack a pro game? You're 16, you're the age of what, many high school sophomores across the country, and you're playing with adults. How was that for you from, forget like the competition on the field, but just from being around adults? I know that's still younger kids, but like, you're really young when you first cracked the pros. That's what stood out.
I mean, yeah, like I've been around clubhouses and stuff. I know how guys are. I've always been around an older crowd. I've never really hung out a lot with guys my age. So I've always kind of been around that environment, and like just going to the field and trying to have fun, like not treating it like I'm any different or like I'm less than any of the other guys just because I'm younger. Just trying to go out and show out, you know?
Did you get a lot of jokes on that front though, where it's like, hey, yeah, the baby's here? I mean, you had to have some of that, which you have fun with, right?
Yeah, I'm definitely, everyone calls me kid around the clubhouse. Hey, if you can give me a ride, like I didn't have my car when I first came in. I didn't have a license when I first came into pro ball. It's just like little things like that I kind of struggled with. But no, definitely in the stadiums, it's funny sometimes, like just hearing the fans say, like, chirps and stuff, but calling me a kid and stuff on the field, but it's just what comes with it.
How much do you feel like, I mean, you kind of had the choice of the paths here, right? Like, you grew up in the States and also, you know, overseas as well. Like, if you had gone through the draft, you would be going into your senior year of, you know, your draft year right now of high school, yeah. not but high school. Here you are, you've got two full seasons of minor league ball under your belt, playing in the AFL. You know, you've been teammates with big leaguers who are, you know, who are starring in the postseason. How crazy has it been the last couple of years to think like, hey, how much, you know, a kind of ahead you kind of got yourself here?
I mean, yeah, it's been cool. It's definitely been cool who I've been to share the clubhouse with. But yeah, just trying not to act any different, just be myself and knowing that I'm going to be there pretty soon. I mean, I'm just trying to create good relationships with all the guys I know I'm going to be teammates with soon in my career. So I'm just trying to be one of the guys.
All right, so Ethan, let's finish with this. First off, my colleague over at Foul Territory, Eric Kratz, says he wants you to tell your father hello, because I guess they were teammates or something, whatever. They know each other well. But also on that note, there's a Milwaukee connection. So was your roommate, was it this past year, Kai Murphy?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So were you like a secondary Brewers fan just to at least root for Kai's dad, who's definitely been in the game for such a long time, gets to finally take over the manager gig. So what was it like to experience Kai following the Brewers and his father, who waited a long time to be a skipper and had a really successful year?
Yeah, no, Kai's the man, dude. Me and him would watch all the Brewers games after our games. We'd sit there on the iPad and watch the Brewers games, and he'd call his dad and they'd talk about the games and stuff. But no, it was pretty cool, like watching what his dad can do and like how he carries himself. Like that guy's a true pro. Like Kai's a true pro. He's a dog. Like he balls out. So I love being around Kai. He's the man.
I love that. Yeah, his dad's hilarious too. He's been on Foul Territory quite a bit. Really funny guy. He's done a lot in the sport for a long time. So good son to hang out with, who also has, of course, a ton of experience in the game being around big leaguers. Well, Ethan, this was awesome, man. Really great to have you on here. A lot of people wanted to hear from you. Hope you're enjoying it out there, and we'll talk to you down the line, okay?
Yeah, no, thank you, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Appreciate you. Ethan Salas from the San Diego Padres organization with us on Baseball America Hot Sheet. That was great. Really, really obviously interesting story, JJ, that you and the rest of the crew over at Baseball America have been covering for a long time already. It's been several years. And the point is great. 16 years old. You're a sophomore in high school at that age in most cases.
That's the thing where it's like, it's impossible to easily evaluate Ethan. Cause like you can look at his stat line this year and say, oh, I expected more. I expected him to have a better year at the plate. And then you back up a bit and you go, okay, wait a second. He was in high A. And again, he was should have been a high school junior. Like in a different sliding doors path, he could have been a high school junior this year. He's been the youngest player in every game he's ever played in at the pro level. He's in the AFL now after his second full season, and doing that at an age where most of the guys we're talking about are either, you know, if you signed internationally, you're hoping to come to the States next year. Or if you, you know, we're going through the draft, you're like, okay, I hope I hear my name called next July. And by the way, I'm probably not going to get a game that counts until the year after that. By that point, Ethan's going to be in Double A and maybe knocking the door Triple A or the big leagues. He's so far ahead of schedule. You know, again, you want to see him he finished strong. You want to see him kind of take further steps at the plate. He's as a catcher, you know, there's a lot really to like there. But the things that really do jump out is I can't help but think of, again, not because they're the same type of player necessarily or anything like that, because I don't want to put Pudge Rodriguez on anyone. But the last catcher I can remember who moved this quickly is Pudge Rodriguez, who kind of flew through the minors as a teenager in the Rangers organization, you know, about three decades ago now.
Yeah, really cool to follow his career and see where he, you know, ends up, as in how quickly he gets to the show. I mean, he's an 18-year-old catcher. It's really cool. All right, well, great work behind the scenes getting two guests here on Hot Sheet today. I want to remind everyone that we are now going to be a Monday 3:30 Eastern live show. So if you have questions for us, which we get in the off season too, then that's the time to join us. That starts next week, and that'll carry every Monday off season into next season as well. Also for prospect fans, Mets top prospect Jett Williams is going to join Foul Territory tomorrow. So catch that show on the FT YouTube channel 1 to 3 Eastern. Otherwise, please like, and share this video. Subscribe to Baseball America. Subscribe to the channel, podcast, YouTube, the whole deal. Peter, thank you. JJ, always great to see you. We'll see everyone next week on Monday on Hot Sheet.